Drunk.
We'll call the Gage County Board of Supervisors to order for Wednesday, March 9th, 2022 at 8:45 on the clock. We have the pleasure of beginning with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation, Jurgens, Haxby, Schuler, Tiemann, Dorn, and Lytle. Mr. Byers will not be joining us today. Up first is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held February 23rd, 2022. Approve all claims through March 9th, 2022 in the amount of $517,940.99. Accept claim number 220-30066 to Hard Rock Quarries, LLC in the amount of $10,041.25 to be voted on below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Receive and place on file the Adams Rescue 2021 Annual Report. Approve District Court Summary Fee Report and Register Deeds Fee Report for the month of February 2022. I would ask for a motion to approve, or if there's any items that would anyone would like to pull off that consent agenda.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Schuler. Any discussion? If not, please vote. Six in favor. Motion carries. Regular agenda. Approve claim, approve or disapprove claim number 220-30066 to Hard Rock Quarries, LLC in the amount of $10,041.25. This brings the total amount of claims approved through March 9th, 2022. To $527,982.24. This is a company that I am in ownership of.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Jurgens. Any discussion? Please vote. Five in favor with Tiemann abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Any comments from the public? We welcome the public. Thank you for coming. We'll move on to committee reports. Building and grounds, winter lights. Mr. Jones. Good morning.
Good morning. We do have lawn mowing bids this morning at 9:15, which is always better getting lawn mowing bids than snow removal bids. So get those. Skyline Roofing, I have been in contact with them. They looked at the evidence of the building roof earlier. They have not been up on the courthouse roof yet, so they're coming today, and then they'll get an estimate to NERMA ASAP so we can start working on that, the damage done by the windstorm.
When did that happen, December?
Mm-hmm. And you've been being very safe, not getting close to the edge or anything as you...
Yes, I have. And I do think, they'll use their safety harnesses. Hopefully they should be able to do all that work just from the top of the roof. So, Lammel Plumbing went over to the detention center yesterday and started replacing the shower stall drains. Those used to be a big 24-inch opening underneath a grate, and now they're just replumbing and just putting up a 5-inch drain, which should be a lot safer and hopefully... not allow everything to go down into those troughs that caused some issues before, so that should take care of that problem. So other than that, just on the elevator, we had a fan go out just last week, the elevator fan, and so he came and just got the model number off of it, and then they'll give us a proposal that is not covered under our service agreement, so we'll have to have a fan replaced. That's what I have.
I'll add to that. We met with, and the sheriff will be interested in this, we met with some the first of our cybersecurity people that will be putting stuff together for us, as well as talk to them about potential IT. The sheriff gave me a packet of some things that needed done that would fall under IT. They thought that would probably be a morning's worth of work for one of their people to just come out and buzz through stuff. They also have the ability to do install. This first bidder has the ability to do installs into vehicles. If that's needed, do radio work, all of those items too. So there is some potential for one of these over, I don't know, overshadowing the full security type companies to offer the actual IT items that we need as well. When we get closer to a person or a company with their proposals, then we'll probably go around and do more talking to, say, county attorney, assessor, all the different offices, and say, do you want to participate in this umbrella? That's probably a better word to say, IT security umbrella type package. But we are making the first steps. We're listening to the sheriff. We do need some of this IT work and trying to figure out how to make that work. But Dave was on that. We'll continue forward with some of those vendors.
Yeah. I did give him a tour of the building and showed him, and he felt like, at least everything's cut and dry in here, where the rack is all simplified, I guess you could say, and the access points. He looked at the access points.
And this company does somewhere in the 30s, lower 30s, mid 30s of counties right now. But once we get something together to bring to the board, we'll bring that to you guys right away. But we are moving forward with getting some pricing on that, and we haven't forgot about it. I know this is really important to the sheriff's department, but also the other offices. So we're moving forward on it. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Equalization. Mr. Byers would say everything is equal. Valuations are going to be coming out from Patty's office. Finance and insurance.
Large ticket items. Blue River's area on aging. First, second, and third quarter payments, $26,145.
Almost forgot about it.
Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $37,590.40. Last, Hard Rock Quarries, LLC, and it says on my sheet, limestone. I hope that isn't lime, Eric.
It says what?
Limestone.
Well, rock.
Okay. $10,041.25. That's it.
Human resources, employee relations. We have had some action in that department here in the last few days. We will be talking about that in closed session as a board as far as the details of that. Law enforcement, emergency management, planning, and zoning.
Sheriff's going to come up here for a little bit, and then we'll split off. We just want to talk about with the weather coming in and so forth. This is just kind of something to go through as a reminder of what our procedures are. Obviously, in our employee handbook, I handed that out. There is a process. I mean, the county's policy is to try to keep the courthouse open from 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, and that's the goal. And how employees will utilize their pay if they can't get here and so forth. So that's easily spelled out. So in a typical situation, I'm just reading through our severe weather policy, it's that we are in contact with the National Weather Service, and then I'm in contact with Gus, along with our highway superintendent, to assess the roads. But we try to do that by 6:30 in the morning, because I do have a lot of schools and so forth that reach out, you know, as far as what their plans are. Fortunately for the city of Beatrice, I think they're out of school tomorrow and Friday. I'm not sure on Tri-County, but we have four other schools that we do work with on school closing. So then if it's determined at that time that it's not safe and we do need to either have a late start working with Dave and so forth for the public safety of the sidewalks and so forth, we do so. But we start early enough in the morning that we should have an answer for our employees. And then there's a calling tree. And then obviously if something is canceled, then we would notify media. So I don't know, Gus, you want to take it?
Yeah, the thing concerned me is the last storm we had, that never happened.
And I didn't know about it. My deputy in the courthouse didn't know about it until they were asking why people were leaving the courthouse. You can't go to one place and just agree to something and do it if it's in, if it's been approved of the board. I would like to really stick to this so we can, we have a calling tree for a reason. No elected official should have a say in this individually. It should be through the policy you guys have through your resolution here. We need to act on that and do it, and they turned over to the chairman or vice chairman if the chairman's gone. So that was very frustrating for me last time. I don't think courthouse probably needed to be closed. What I was hearing was it was done 10, 15 minutes. And
That was on that windstorm?
Yeah.
That was my fault. I came in, we shuffled everybody out right at the end. I thought that wind was going to stay for the whole afternoon. I listened to the people that are supposed to be trained professionals. They failed miserably as meteorologists. It came through 10 minutes, 15 minutes, it was done. There's no repercussion for them doing a horrible job, but that's what happened. We cleared everybody out, called over to your place. That was, as I was seeing the storm come, I actually ran into town. I think we probably got them out of there at the worst time. They would have been better off not leaving. And
they do. They train. They've been perfect time for the tornado. You know, go down in the basement, wait there for a little bit, and see how it goes.
It did get pretty rough there for a while.
It did.
Generally with snow, what we've done, snow or storms, Dave and I are usually talking by 4:30 or 5 in the morning. We take a look. This is an easy building to get cleared. It's more or less roads getting here. And then I've generally told Don, as far as staff here, start your calling trees. Are you wanting us to wait to hear from Lisa then?
Well, that's how the board passed resolution in 09. So I suppose unless you opt to change that, we probably need to stay that so everybody knows kind of how things flow.
And we've been in contact on some of the storms.
Yeah.
I mean,
usually I'm here early in the morning with Dave, but at some point in time, the derecho storm, that was a whole different thing. I mean, that was an 8-minute evolving windstorm. So,
and it was nasty for a while.
In this particular case with snow and so forth, it's easier to plan when you're on tact. But the important thing is to when we can keep the courthouse open, we're open.
That's all I had. I just want to bring that up. But since we've got this storm supposedly coming, reminding me we probably need to discuss that you have this. So.
I'm going to take the blame on that last one. It was coming up so quick and so violently, and then we thought it was going to be all afternoon. I thought it'd be better to get everyone out, so I tried to clear everyone out. I wish I would have done it an hour sooner, that was my fault.
Well, yeah, and the advantage of this to you is you've got 3 or 4 people have researched, made their opinion, and passing it on to you. Then you decide from there. That's the advantage to it. So, just saying.
I'll take the heat on that one, Sheriff. I'm sorry.
I didn't point my finger. I just bring it up.
That was my fault. I have to take the blame on this.
All right, that's all I had. Thanks.
Thank you.
As we move into the storm season, though, from the derecho event, though, today we have briefings on 4641 is what the derecho event has been numbered as. And so we have 5 agencies that are putting in public assistant requests for that. So today I'm working with one of them, and it's all this week, so in next week. So it's a typical procedure, obviously, similar to what we did with the townships. It just is good to be, you know, in the know in terms of claims and so forth. Obviously, we had lots of people that had personal loss, but these are public entities, governmental entities that will be able to make claims for that. Moving on to just a little bit more on the National Weather Service. The National Weather Service now does have a new a service that they're offering to our dispatchers, to our fire and rescue, and that is identifying hot spots by satellite image prior to. So right now they are reporting if they see a hot spot by satellite image, it'll be confirmed with, and if there's a burn permit at that particular site, and then they'll either notify, wait for the notification to come from fire and rescue, but it is an asset that they're seeing. So we're just working on that protocol. And then going back to, I know I reported at a committee meeting, we're pretty excited this year. We have a first place winner. The National Guard, National Weather Service, and also NEMA supports a poster contest for third graders, and we had the first place winner here in Gage County. Sophie Rakes from Wymore is there. So there's a picture. We went up with her on Monday, and she received her her certificate for the governor, and then we went to had the opportunity to go to Myron's office, and she met him, and so she had an awesome morning. So we'll plan something locally for her. We did have a banner that was made, and so we're going to circulate that banner at different events of that poster. Severe Weather Week is coming up in 2 weeks. It'll be the 21st through the 25th, and then we have a lot of the schools and institutions, facilities, Beatrice Hospital, Mosaic, State Home utilizes that Wednesday for the statewide tornado severe weather awareness with the 10 o'clock sirens. So,
If you do want to do something down there, I'd love to go with you and really tell her thank you and congratulations. It's great to have one of our kids in the county succeed like that.
I know. It's awesome. I will work something out with the principal and her teacher, and then obviously maybe Dawn down in that district.
When is that?
I haven't.
Okay.
We're not planning yet, but hopefully in the next week to week and a half prior to or either the week of Severe Weather Awareness Week that we could do that and then put that banner out in their lawn and then bring it back here. So
be fantastic.
I did turn over the hazmat plan to Roger. He's looking at that. I know we mentioned in our LEOP, we have to have a hazmat plan, which we are co-oping with LEPC, the Homestead LEPC, which is a 5-county area. So Roger's got that in hand, and hopefully in the next 4 weeks we'll have that in front of you for approval on that, and then it will be part of our LEOP now. And then as far as zoning last night, we did have the hearing. Media, thank you for putting that on the radio. That's going to go forward with a recommendation for approval. Talking with Dawn this morning, April 6th will be that hearing, and then that'll be a 9:15 hearing to you to hear that recommendation for that expansion of that operation. And then solar regs were worked on. They were here till 11 o'clock last night working on regs. We're not done, still researching setbacks and so forth, specifically those high concentration areas of villages and churches, NRDs, and comparing that to the need publicly. And then I did forward, C. Whitwer did tried to submit an email to Dawn this morning and submitted it to me, so he is willing to serve another 3 years if this board chooses to move forward with that.
On the P&Z, too, I listened to the transcript on that or listened to the recordings on it. Mm-hmm. Sounded like about half the people didn't care if we moved the days or not, but the chairman wanted to keep that on Tuesdays. So I think with that, what we'll do is there's only a few months. Second Tuesday gets in the way.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like June, July,
okay.
August, and December. Those would be in between board meetings.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just do it on a different Tuesday that month then if we want to keep them on a Tuesday. So as long as there's not a board committee meetings and a board meeting afterwards,
sure.
Just a different Tuesday that month. Some of these are easier. I mean, planting season, harvest is going to be rough. Those move around anyway, but just these should always be listed on here. So as we're looking at when to do a meeting, we'll just choose a Tuesday that's not encompassed or not surrounded by a committee meeting and a board meeting, and we'll go from there. I was talking to a couple board members or board member this morning. It's like that's an easy way to keep it on Tuesday. The second Tuesday won't hold, but that way they can keep it on a Tuesday at least.
So we look at the commission after when we have the discussion of the next meeting. Obviously, they all have their schedules pulled up on their phones, and so it's usually consensus of what they kind of know a month ahead of time.
Which is easier said than done at times.
Yeah, exactly. And then we do send a quorum notice out by text to make sure, you know, to establish what we have for quorum if we need to cancel. But we know that May and June are going to be questionable anyway for meetings, and we don't have hearings coming up. So.
And I'm sure Dawn can get you something like this, you know, just where ours are scheduled out. Ours are repeating, obviously, every other week, but we can kind of adjust that way and still keep it on a Tuesday, and I think that's probably as good a compromise as we're going to get, where Tuesdays still work and everybody's happy on the board still. Mr. Schuler?
I was looking yesterday for the schedule on the planning and zoning meetings, and on the website it says it's the second Thursday.
So that we've asked to have that changed, but it never has been. So it's in.
I can't
set it up. I can't make that change. So.
So they're scheduled now on second Thursday?
That's what it says on the website.
So we switched to Tuesdays about 2 years ago, so or a year and a half ago through that hearing process. So.
Now, wouldn't our schedules, like you're referring to there, it's on the website calendar, correct? Or do you have to give Lisa a copy of another calendar?
I don't know if our schedule's on the website.
We have the public notices, and we have when the board meets.
But the committee meeting isn't on there.
On the website?
On the website. The regular meeting is, but the committee meeting isn't.
We could change language that we're the committee meetings are the Monday prior, but in
well,
case people
just, yeah,
wonder on
it's
committee
a,
meeting.
A language, but it's a.
I didn't realize. I thought
know,
it
each month, you can look at each month, and the regular board meeting is indicated on the calendar.
I was worried it was listed as second Tuesday, and that could cause some confusion. So this has been listed as second Thursday already anyway.
We abide by the meeting notices just like you guys do, you know, so I'll be honest, you know, these are volunteers that serve you. So when we're here in the room, you know, they look at their schedules and Tuesdays work the best. They look at their calendars.
And listening to them, there's probably four of them that didn't care, but the chairman did say he wanted to go on Tuesdays. I thought if we stick to a Tuesday, we can just
flex it.
I mean, there's not too many months that it would interfere with. I had Emily here till about 6:30 last night. I don't know that she was extremely thrilled that I kept her here this long, but there's just a lot going on right now. And I said we needed to clear out. I had it in my head that you guys were going to be here in a half an hour at 7. 7:30 to 11, same thing, a lot going on. That's a late night for you guys. But no, if we just flex a few out, that'll take care of that. Anything else for P&Z, emergency management, law enforcement? I would anticipate, will that email be good enough for you from Steve Whitwer to put something on the agenda? I assume you want to keep Steve.
It's not my, I'm sorry, it's not my decision.
Sure.
This is an appointment by this, but Steve has performed very well for us in the past.
No complaints.
I have none. No.
Good portion of the county, good experience base there, too.
He was chairman for a while, too, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
No, not a P&Z. He's been the chairman of the Gage County Ag Society.
You're right.
Yep.
Did he step down from that?
He did, yeah.
But after a lot of years of service.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much, Lisa.
Thanks for correcting me, Lisa.
Road and Bridge, Mr. Juergens.
Armor coating bids we have the list here in front of us. With Midwest Coatings, who received a low bid of $430,545.41, informed us that they misquoted something on their bid. The next highest bid up was $150,000, so they were quite a bit lower. But they will stand behind their bid, so that particular item worked out in our favor. Rock and gravel bids are in. While we're on rock and gravel bids, now would probably be a good time to discuss a couple things. I spoke with Ron Jeffries yesterday from Rock On. He's the normal, usually gets the low bid on most things from the township gravel material hauling. And bins were a year behind on hauling gravel to townships. And Beings, here's a few things he told me. The Alex Pit maybe will be open next week. Maybe. Big maybe. Powell Pit is moving about 200 yards north of where they're located now. So they're not ready to open up. That's one of our major ones. Possibly 3 weeks, but I wouldn't bet on it. And he also said that they're working at opening another pit north of the Boyden Pit. This pit, they're looking at maybe opening this fall, which would be a gravel, coarse gravel pit again. I mean, Boyden wasn't that before, but... I should be north of that. And the last thing, when I spoke to Ron, he's asking me if on his bid from last year, through no fault of his own, he could not get material to deliver to the townships. There were lines, everything else. He requested that we take a look at this and... if he could add a fuel surcharge to his hauling rate from last year. I would said I would bring it up. To me, it would make common sense. Through no fault of his own, did he not be able to get, because he was not able to get the material, it couldn't be hauled. So it's something I'd like to look at, everybody think about. I don't know what the change would be, but we could work together with him maybe and look at that. And with all that negative news from the gravel pit, I would like to look at something else here. If everybody has their sheet out. There was a bid from RL Team and Construction from Central Sand and Gravel out of Columbus. The bids were higher, but I would like, once again, everybody look at the percentages, what it is. Maybe looking at this, and we can discuss this tomorrow night too, see how the townships feel about it, but looking at this at pulling some material out of here to get at least some of last year's finished up, because this weather will change and it will get, township roads will get bad again like they always do. So I think our lack of material out there is going to show itself in the next few months, hopefully.
Hopefully it will show itself.
I said hopefully we get rain to make it look ugly.
Oh, okay. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm picking up what you're laying down.
So, with that being said, everybody's got a sheet in front of them. Do your own looking at it. You know, there's about a, and I never did break it down, but you're looking about a $5 a ton extra. Columbus is loaded with good, coarse material. So, I'm...
Are we able to accept all bids so that they have the option to use those townships?
Yes. Our typical process would be we accept all bids.
Yes.
We go with the lowest bid as long as they have material, and then we'll skip. The issue we've had the last 3 years... We can skip from lowest bidder to next bidder. Everyone's getting material from the same place, and when they're out, they're out. So contractor A, which Rock On's done a really good job for us, but when they can't get material, neither can Beatrice Sand and Gravel, where it's their pit, or Gaina, or Teeman, or Rock On, which are basically our four haulers. we're having to look outside of the norm. Lancaster got their material from Ashland, Lyman Ritchie, or Western Sand and Gravel. Western Sand and Gravel and Lyman Ritchie at Ashland have declined to even bid gravel the last 2 years to Lancaster County. So they're in the same boat as we are as far as getting material from other places. We've been toying with rock. Rock substitutes work. I think that's a temporary fix. The gravel is our long-term fix for stability on the roads. I mean, that gravel is just so much harder. There's no comparison. You need the rock. I mean, it's needed, too, for the right things. But long-term, we need to be making a combination. We can't switch all to rock or our roads will look like Pawnee County. It'll just be – that'll be our road.
So before we get ourselves in a bigger hole, which it looks like possibility of it happening.
But Terry, can I pause you for yes. 1 minute? Just for a second, I'd ask for a motion to close bids for the 2022-2023 lawn care and fertilization, mowing and bagging, trimming and blowing. Those bids. Are there any other bids here in the audience for mowing county properties, fertilizing? If not, I'd ask for a motion to close those bids at 9:16. Moved by Haxby.
Second
by Lytle to close bids at 9:16. Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Bidding is closed on those items. Back to you, Mr. Jenkins.
I've just got a few more little things on that.
Go ahead. We'll open these in a second.
I think as long as we close them, we're okay. Anyway,
sorry
I'd
to
like
break
everybody to think about that as far as getting material elsewhere for right now and see what we can do to get caught up, and we can have more discussions about this tomorrow night at the township meeting. And that's my last thing. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at the Beatrice Legion, is our annual township association meeting. Now, hopefully, we'll have good attendance, depending on the weather.
Hopefully the weather's good.
Yeah.
No, and all of you, of course, are welcome to come. Mr. Dorn.
Do we have to open up for bids to the other trucking outfits to bid it from Columbus?
Everyone has the option to bid from wherever. That's something that each of the companies bid. We've had bids from other places from Gaina before, but this time Gaina decided to bid only from...
The option to bid that was given when the bid process went out.
Okay.
So would it... Terry's question for you. Would it be, like, are we saying to take, like have different townships get rock from different places so that...
Not rock.
Or, sorry, gravel. Gravel from different places so we're not exhausting one option right away?
Well, I think our options are exhausted probably the way it looks
They're
to me.
They're already exhausted.
Emily, we could be running dual suppliers.
And kind of like
kind of different townships go different ways. So
yeah, I mean, if there's material available, but I think it's going to be gone so quick that our options are going to be minimal.
What you're saying is it would make less sense for one of our northern townships to be coming down here and pulling gravel, and then we're pulling Columbus clear down to...
Right. Like,
well, yeah, that would make sense. I would think you'd want to service the northern end of the county with the material from Columbus or, you know, however it is, but I don't know how the bids lay out and everything else. That's
I don't know
me to figure out. So.
I don't know the logistics is going to work that way either, like Terry's saying, with both pits.
One thing I will tell you to keep in mind, we were in this situation probably 5 years ago, somewhere in there. We actually caught up, I think, 4 years ago, but we were running behind. We were never this far behind. We ran half a year behind. Right now, Rock On had just started in the fall. I think they had got to last year's rock at the end of last year.
Gravel.
They had got to last year's gravel at the end of last year.
I think what Ron told me exactly was he got two townships.
So we've got the rest of the townships from a year ago.
Yeah.
So what we should be starting is this year's bid now. We won't be doing that until July, August at the rate we've gone. And that's assuming there's material. We're in a pickle. I mean, it's not dire yet, but I'd rather get caught up before, if possible, get caught up before we do have issues. I'm not even going to say what the roads are like because I remember what happened the last time Terry did. But we've been fortunate on roads, unfortunate in fields right now.
Well, you've got a winter event coming up, and if you do get 3, 4, 5 inches, next week is 60 all week, you're going to find out real quick how sloppy you're going to get.
Yeah, so, you're exactly right.
Yeah. And Eric, I guess the one thing that I would add is that gravel and rock is probably one of the bigger things, more important things that we on this board sit here and discuss because our roads are a big part of our county business. And, you know, with smaller things, if we go to one retailer and they don't have the item, we go to another retailer. And up to this point, we haven't done that. And I think I agree wholeheartedly with Terry. In this case, it's time to start going to the other retailer and buying the commodity that we need so we can take care of our roads the way we need to.
I'll ask you this on the fuel side.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any issue with the fuel surcharge either. They've got a year's worth of gravel at last year's prices. Is there a rule of thumb that you've seen used as far as figuring surcharges? Or
it's company to company is different. Is what I've seen.
It might be something for us to look at where prices were, Mr. Jurgis.
Well, yeah, that's basically what I would do. I think I've already seen on materials supplied to me, there's a surcharge on it. Most of the time they work by percentage.
Yep.
And just what that percentage is, I don't know. It might be different next week than it is this week. I don't know that. So we've got time to look at it, but it's something I'd like to look at.
Mr. Schuler?
Yeah. I'm just trying to remember when Roy Mulder was here representing the township. Was it Adams or Nemaha?
Adams.
And he requested that he can get some gravel or they could get some gravel or rock at another location that's closer. I think it was Ashland, I believe. I don't recall what he told him.
He was hauling Hopper Bottom, and he wondered if they could put gravel on their roads. And on the townships, they can do whatever they want because they take extra material. I'm going to use Dave Niemeyer as an example. He's in Highland Township, if I remember right.
John.
Maybe?
Probably.
John. I'm sorry, did I say the wrong name?
John.
They brought in extra material. Blakely. Mr. Dorns brought in extra material for Philly. Dave Niemeyer, different
Niemeyer. There's two Dave.
Dave was with Blakely Township. John Niemeyer was the one that was trucking corn to Columbus and bringing
and they brought back. He brought back gravel and put it on their roads. He even made a contraption for the back of his hopper bottom to kind of spread it as they put it down. So they can. The answer is yes. They can bring material in from
I was thinking
wherever
that's
they could.
Lovely.
And he got them a little better deal because he was already getting paid on the way up. So then I think he made the township a good deal on the way back, and it worked out well for everyone. But there have been some people exploring other options already.
That's township material, not township material supplied by the county.
That's
not their allocated.
Right. But I'm just saying, you know, we're looking as a county to go someplace else and to get the material we need, and I was comparing it to the township
and
Roy had requested. And
I had reached out in the past, and we haven't got bids from some of these other suppliers either. Mark's gone to training today, but I asked him to look at different pits in the area to try to get other bids in, and we had declination on all those. The next closest one would be a Dewey's pit over at Belvedere. It's owned by Phil Werner. And we've hauled a lot of gravel out of there to other jobs. That county had their own county gravel pit. They decided to close it, so they are now supplying the county that they are located in. So they declined to bid our gravel. Had that not happened, we may have had another closer pit. But we're trying to look outside the box at other places. It's just everyone's in the same need as we are. We're not in bad shape yet. We just don't want to get to that point. But I think Mr. Juergens has a good idea, good direction here.
And I don't see it on here, and I know it's someplace, but there was a new pit that put a bid in.
That was...
Or am I missing that?
That was in Holland, Kansas?
Hollenburg.
Hollenburg, Kansas.
Hollenburg. But the same situation that all of them had, he said, I'll put a bid in, but I can't guarantee you I can supply the material. So...
I see his price on the top here. I think that's LRM, Lotman Ready Mix.
Okay.
They had a bid for material at $1,540.
Okay.
And that's still something I'm sure the county trucks will explore. I don't know that he offered any trucking numbers.
No, I don't believe so.
So, I mean, our county trucks, that's still a bid that we can go pick up material when it's available.
Yeah.
Any other comments on rock, gravel, road, and bridge?
What kind of a stockpile do we have for gravel?
Very slim. We've got a small stockpile over on the Caldwell Yard that's primarily used for salt mixing. I would say a few hundred tons.
We should look at doing that.
It's a fantastic idea, Gary. I will say Jefferson County has a couple nice stockpiles. And Lancaster has approximately 40,000 ton on the ground spread out through the county.
As always. The issue with that one was, we've talked about this numerous times too, the pile of gravel someplace, you have to get a loader back again, load it back up, and deliver it again. So there's extra cost involved in that too. But I'm not saying no.
and you got to have a space to put it. And yeah, we've discussed it several times.
If we can find the right property, I still think a northern spot and a southern spot, I still think it's feasible. It's just finding the right spots. With that, we'll leave that up to you to talk to the Township Association on that tomorrow night. We'll continue discussions on that. Maybe I'll talk to you. We'll figure out if we do want to vote on something here in the future as far as what we could do.
Let's see what the overall
actually,
opinion is tomorrow night.
We don't have to vote on something like that. That would be something where bids are accepted. That's something we can talk about and go from there. We're going to go back to our 9:15 timed event at 9:27. Ms. Haxby, do you have all the bids for mowing? We have multiple bids, which is great.
First one is from Greenway.
Two's better than none.
You want me to read it?
Sure. I've done enough talking for today.
Let's get ready to hand it over to you. Looks like this is a two-year deal for 22 and 23. Total for fertilization lawn care for 2022.
Who's it from?
The Greenway.
Okay.
So total fertilization and lawn care amount for 2022 is $5,240. Total fertilization and lawn care for 2023 is $5,240.
So they're both the same?
They're both for both years, yeah. And then this one's from Beatrice Lawn Care.
So was that just for fertilizing?
Fertilizing and lawn care.
The whole works was $5,240.
Yep. And then from Beatrice Lawn Care, total for fertilization and lawn care for 2022, same thing as 2023, is $7,030.
I would ask for I would ask to have Dave review those real quickly and come back to us, and we should be able to vote on that today yet.
Was there three bids, you said?
Is there a fuel surcharge on that?
They're just a yearly charge. Okay. 2 years.
And it's nice we have a couple bids on this. Thank you, Mr. Jones. Let us know when you have that reviewed, and then we'll come back to that one. Moving on the agenda, approve or disapprove communications equipment lease agreement with First Wireless, Inc., and Gage County for Highway Department Communications lease effective March 1st, 2022 through February 28th, 2027. This is a agreement for tower usage for First Wireless. Our contract, they had not increased it. It was a 10% per year increase. They had forgotten to do that. We were paying $300 a month. They bumped us to $330. And then we had a 10% increase from that each year consecutively. I negotiated back and forth with them over the last month or so. Our first increase would be approximately $362 a month. The next year it would go up again by 10%. And we talked back and forth. We ended up on a number of $350 a month for a five-year fixed cost. So it appears to be an all right deal. It appears to be a good contract for us. We're locked in at a price lower than we would have been first year continuing the contract. I guess it'd be my recommendation as far as dollars and cents to approve this.
Move to approve. Looks like a good deal you negotiated for us.
Second.
Motion by Haxby, second by Juergens. Mr. Schuler.
I have a question. What was it, what was the length of the contract for the previous?
3 years at 10% increase per year.
Okay, and then what was the contract?
But we didn't get the, I'm sorry?
What was the contract? What did they charge at that time?
It started at 300, and then that was supposed to go up 10% each year. We didn't receive the contract between something with First Wireless. It was approved, but it was never executed. So we were basically floating on a gentleman's agreement at that time. And then by whatever means, we found it, they found it. We realized that we didn't have an executed agreement, so we wanted to move forward with an actual. We wanted to. First Wireless demanded that we.
Well, I just was curious to what it was costing us before and to compare it to what it is now.
$330. And then we were at 300. They bumped us to 330, realized we didn't have an agreement, so then they were going to increase that by 10%. That would have been 362 for this year.
Okay.
We have not paid the first quarter of this year, which we're using it still. It's our highway communication. So the way this would work is if we agree to this 350 a month, we will owe for January, February, March still. But we are using the service also.
Okay. Well, that gives me something to compare.
We're locked in on price, so this gives us a little control over the next 5 years at a lower rate than we would have been at year one. Counselor, do you have anything to add on this one? It's a repeat.
Fine, yeah, simple contract.
Roger keeps us out of trouble on the contracts, too. We have a motion by Haxby, second by Juergens. Any additional discussion on the tower lease contract for the Highway Department? Seeing none, please vote. 6 in favor. Up next, approve or disapprove rock and gravel bids. Mr. Juergens.
I would like to make a motion to accept and approve all rock and gravel bids as received.
Second.
Moved by Juergens, second by Haxby. Thank you for a specific motion, too. That's fantastic.
I'm learning.
Any discussion additionally on the rock and gravel bids we received a couple weeks ago? Seeing none, please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove the armor coat bids as received.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the armor coat bid, the low price of from Midwest Coating, the low price of $430,545.41.
Second.
Moved by Juergens, second by Lytle.
Will you repeat that amount, yes. Terry?
And the start date would be 5/23/22, completion date 6/3/2022. The amount is $430,545.41.
Which that's an approximate savings of $50,000 over the next low bid. 70,000. We have a motion by Juergens, second by Lytle, to approve the bid from Midwest Coatings for the 2022 armor coat. Any additional discussion? If not, please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove broadband bids and allow subcommittee to begin negotiating. Ms. Hackby, do you want to handle this one, or do you want me to?
You can. We got some good bids, and it's just taking us some time to work through.
A lot of information. We had a broad range of bids, as you all saw in our presentations Monday, ranging from a small portion in the northern part of the county. Next bidder expanding that to the northeastern part of the county. Another bidder encompassing approximately twice that size again, with a combination of fiber and fixed wireless. We met with one of the bidders yesterday. Would it be fair to say we may have something for committee meetings in 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think we'll have something together.
We still want to visit with some of the bidders. I guess I don't know that we need. I'm sorry? Well, I'm trying to decide if we should approve allowing the subcommittee to negotiate here. I suppose that would be the next step, to try to figure out what our next step is, because we need to, basically, we've got our proposals. We need to figure out what actually is going to work in an actual agreement, because with a proposal, we don't have an actual contract we're asking someone to agree to. So I think we could take action on this and approve the broadband bids that we received, and just as written, allow the subcommittee, which consisted of Ms. Haxby, myself, and Mr. Dorn, to negotiate with the bidders.
Were they actually bids, or were they just proposals?
Proposals. So I see what you're saying.
Roger, since they're just proposals, there's...
I think you're in a stage where you can just sit down and the committee would have the authorization to work with the bid, or excuse me, the proponents, to narrow the, not narrow, clarify their bids, yeah. Because again, like you say, you got some that are over here, some over there, and you got to do, I mean, the way the law is written, you got to do what's best for the county. And that's going to be a lot of sifting through. Now, they're professional services, so you really have a lot of leeway here.
Yeah, and there's some moving pieces with the ARPA funds and some of the other possibilities that are out there, too. So this isn't the normal bid process right. Type.
Is approving this, or would accepting this? How should this motion
be? I don't think there's nothing really to approve.
We don't need to make an approval, then.
No,
the subcommittee
I think it's just a report to the board. Here's where we're at, and we're continuing to work on this. And, once you get a little closer to where, hey, this is the contract we want.
So it was a lot of information. It was a lot of stuff to sift through. We had two really good proposals that we've got to kind of go through and see what's going to be the best fit for the county. So we got to just take a little more time and work through it and weigh the options.
But I guess that would be the update. We're going to continue to talk to the bidders then,
yeah.
The proposers, gather some more information, see how some pieces work together as far as ARPA, RDOF, potential LB-388. I mean, how all the pieces fit together. This is a different proposal or process than we've seen.
Just don't say Madoff in there.
Madoff, Bernie. RDOF, ARPA, LB-388. There's some other CARES. I mean, there's so many different pieces. Not specifically to this, but all working together. But if that's all right, where we don't have to approve anything, then the subcommittee will keep talking back and forth and try to gather some more information. No action on this item, then. Up next, discussion on transparency to the public on resolutions and other ideas for transparency. I'm going to turn this over to Mr. Schuler. This was something that he requested be on the agenda.
Yes. I've expressed concerns in the past about, or interest, I should say, in being more transparent to the public, and have offered some ideas in the past to what we might do to keep the public better informed. I think we're doing a good job, but perhaps we need to do better, and mostly in light of the recent accusations upon myself that I'm not satisfying the majority of the voters. And in order to try to resolve some of that, and this affects all of us, that I'd like to see us consider some changes. And one of them being, which I already brought up this morning, is, for example, the scheduling of the P&Z meetings. I tried finding it to know where it was at and so forth, and it was really never did. I mean, I knew they were the second Tuesday, and I had it on my calendar. And I think most people probably would think to go to the Gage County website, especially if you're new to the county or just, you, that's the way people do these days. They'll Google a website and look for the information that they need. And I couldn't find the information there. Don, and I'm a supervisor.
Do you want any interjection as you go?
Sure.
Okay, this one, the reason the P&Z hasn't been scheduled on a specific time or a flat time like ours or every other week, the P&Z hasn't met consistently ever. They've tried to recently, but they'll skip months. They'll have meetings at different times. They've
not had quorum, so then they don't have
them. They'll cancel meetings. It's a volunteer board, so just so you know, that's one of the issues we've had there. I mean, we've got a good board there.
Well, yes. I think we can try harder. I mean, obviously, even what the website said was the meetings were the second Thursday, and it's been 2 years that that's been changed to the second Tuesday. And I do realize that it's a volunteer board, and their work schedules sometimes interfere, and they need to change his meeting dates. I agree with that. But I think, I think that Lisa should be the one to have control to put the schedules on the website. I don't know how that works, who can has authority to get on the website to change a schedule.
Does MIPS do that for us?
Notify them and they change it.
So MIPS
so
is our...
So does Lisa notify them?
No, she usually tells us. But this is the first I've heard of this.
So okay.
I didn't know about it, but I will
talking, I guess I have an idea here. There may be some things. Maybe we can ask MIPS if they could put a info center tab or something off to the side, not a tab, but maybe a window that would show at first glance schedules, events, things like that. That may be an easy fix that might be good for all of us.
Something, you know, I think something should be improved upon there. We need to make an effort to.
On the calendar, we could list P&Z and our committee meetings both, and have under print, you know, in parentheses, subject to change. Because
sure,
you know, like our committee meetings during, you know, holidays or whatever, they end up on Fridays instead of Mondays. Because I know what Dawn's saying, and she's not saying it out loud. The concern, or Eric is, the concern is if you put it on the calendar, and then XYZ citizen walks in, and the event's not happening because they had to change it for whatever reason, you didn't have it updated on the calendar, then that's not a good thing either.
I know. But I guess I feel we're better off to make an effort to keep it publicized and
I agree.
And take a chance that somebody's going to come, and I don't like that either, and that's why I'm asking if it makes it better if Lisa's the one calling that in, because she's the one that deals with that.
That would make me nervous, I guess, because everyone has something. We kind of have one central point, and I don't know that Dawn would like that to be her, but we've made that her office.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone that wants something on the website, even if I want to change or anything, I call their office, and they can't change it. They submit it to MIPS. MIPS makes the change usually fairly quickly, but we don't even have access to that.
Well, I'm just trying to make it easier for Dawn, and to me it's simpler, but that's fine.
Find the Thursday. Where is it?
It's
Thursday, because I haven't seen it yet.
We can figure that out after the meeting.
Yeah, don't worry about that now, but if it's on there somewhere, we'll try to find it and fix it. Or
it's in the planning and zoning.
Okay, I'll look.
I've got it
or
here.
Or if you guys can touch base after the meeting, we can get that fixed. And thank you for finding that.
Yeah. And as far as resolutions, what we've done in the past and what I've experienced is that a resolution can be presented to the board on the day. It can be on the agenda, and it could be have action taken on that very day that the resolution is presented. I feel that resolution should be given. The board members should be given 4 days to look at that resolution and act it upon in the next meeting, 2 weeks down the road. And, of course, there may be emergency situations that needs to be passed sooner, but the resolutions I've experienced this past year, none of them were an emergency. But if there is an emergency, that the chairman can choose to act on that with consent of the board. So we don't create a situation where it delays something that should be done promptly. That's something to consider. And then also that resolution be available to the public, which I know now that they can come in and get a copy of it. But that's something else that I have asked in the past about it being on the website. And I still believe, as I requested earlier this year, that something that a board member would like to see on the website be posted on the website for public information. Doesn't mean we post everything. And if there's something a constituent wishes to be posted on a website, they can talk to their representative and make that request. And then it can be decided at a board meeting or be presented, and then, of course, give that 2 weeks to be reviewed by the public.
So for resolutions, you'd like to see us have copies of all resolutions 4 days prior to a meeting, and then wait 2 weeks after that meeting to vote on
it? Actually, in thinking about it, if it's brought up, like say at a committee meeting or a board meeting, and you wait 2 weeks to take action on it, you've had it 4 days, more than 4 days.
So you'd like all resolutions, you'd like to see all resolutions voted on 2 weeks after presentation, wherever that may be.
Which gives, and the other thing I know has been brought up as far as putting it on a website is that the resolution isn't a finalized or isn't approved. Was that right, Eric?
Your resolutions, I mean, they're all drafts until you actually vote on them. So our resolutions will change. They're basically fluid. You had asked for a resolution in the past to be posted, which it was a rough resolution, but we were talking about it. The one at the time, I think, went on for weeks at that time. So, I mean, there were multiple weeks, and I can't remember which one it was that we had talked about more extensively, but there were so many changes. If we posted mm-hmm. something and people thought we were voting on that, we wouldn't have actually been voting on that.
Well,
that's my fear.
I'm
with
saying
posting.
If we're discussing what the contents of the resolution should be, and for example, the Second Amendment resolution, we had a couple versions of it.
That might have been the one
I'm thinking of. County attorney he needed to look it over, and we've had that happen with most of the resolutions, and so they change. But once we do get that resolution back from the county attorney with his recommendations, that we present the best form of the resolution that we can. And, of course, we can say it's a draft. I mean, our minutes are not approved, and they're in the website when they enter the or on the website. Then they're subject to change or correction.
Repost them.
Yeah.
If we make a change to them, the correction is shown.
Yeah.
But I'm not questioning any of it. I'm just writing it down,
sure.
Just what you're wanting. When there's a resolution, you'd like to wait 2 weeks after a resolution's presented to vote on it. Resolutions be available to the public, not here, but on the virtually.
Well, they could be here, too.
In addition, virtually.
Sure. Because many of these resolutions, I mean, people have their concept of what maybe they may say or the subject matter of the resolution they may have an opinion on. But until they've actually read the resolution, how can you say you're for or against it? I could be for a resolution, but there may be a statement in there that I don't agree with. I mean, not as a supervisor, but as a citizen, and would like to weigh in on it.
And have board members have the ability to post information on the website. Individuals from the public to have the ability to post on the website.
Well, and they would have to request it through the supervisor,
representative. Through a supervisor.
And then it would be the decision of the supervisor whether.
Okay. Anything else on resolutions?
No, other than I'd like to, looking for comments from other members of the board here, and if there's any other thing we can do to improve. I'm looking forward to live streaming our meetings. I think that'll be beneficial.
That is something we're working for.
Yes.
Or working towards. We've had that in the works for quite. Ms. Haxby?
We went and did that. Was it, I think, back in middle of last year, and I came back with a rough cost estimate, but I thought it was discussed and said that we couldn't afford it right now because we got to pay off the Beatrice 6. I think
sure.
That was the comment.
But it's been discussed, and I know it isn't immediate, but I think it's a good move to keep it on the table for a possibility.
So you're in favor of live streaming now?
Yeah, I always was.
Okay. Well, we are going to continue to work towards that. We're getting pricing on that, and we will have some audiovisual equipment installed here at some point in time, hopefully in the nearer future than far. We're just waiting on final bids on that. So we will be able to stream. Hopefully that'll give the access to more people. Just looking in the audience, Ms. Mason's here. She was one of the people that came and asked for that at some point in time for additional transparency. And we do hear those things when the public asks for these things. We're not cutting-edge technology here. We realize that. But that is something that we have been working I thought you were against that, so no. I'm glad to hear you're on our side now. It's good for the public to be able to watch us as things take place. But I'm glad to hear that.
Maybe I've been kind of quiet about it, but it's been proceeding, and we've been getting information, and we had people looking at it. So as far as I was concerned, it was just a matter of waiting to see what it would cost. I don't recall ever voicing an objection. I may have questioned something about it, but I try to look at both sides of the issue of doing that. And
always good to question things. For transparency, I have some notes on P&Z and resolutions. Did you have anything else for potential transparency items?
Not that I can think of. I mean, there may be some others, and
I think Don brings up a good point here for transparency. That's something we always need to focus on as a board, and that's why it's great to have the public here. We have the press here. I think they do a fairly good job. We don't have to get on them too often about what they report on us, other than I've gotten on Doug about COVID a few times. But any comments from the board as far as potential transparency? Mr. Lytle.
Well, I appreciate the conversation on transparency, and I think it's something we always need to continually look at what we're doing. But by and large, I would say that is not an issue on this board as far as transparency goes. I think that the information that we need to get out there, we get out there. Is there opportunities in the future for us, as Emily's been working on and the board has been working on? Yeah, I think there is some opportunities for us maybe to do some things better and improve on what we're doing. But we also have to take time and be careful and make sure that there's no unintended consequences for some of our actions and what we do, and make sure that we're not opening up our website and our county business to get hacked. And right now, in this time and place in the world, that is a very large concern. So we will continue to make those efforts. I respect what Don has brought and what he's looking at. The one thing that I'll say is that sometimes the public doesn't agree with what we decide here. And in Don's case, I think that's a deal where there's been an issue in the public that doesn't agree with. I don't think it's a transparency issue. I think it's been a standing issue as to where a person stands on the subject matter. But I do appreciate the effort that you've brought in. I just don't know that transparency is the big issue here, personally. So,
well, and Gary, that is partially true. Yes, I agree with everything you said, but I do feel, and I try to be very transparent. I have a press release and put it in the newspaper and explain why I vote the way I do and what my thoughts are behind it. And I'm trying to figure out how, so the rest of us, I mean, this affects all of us, or could affect all of us, to prevent misunderstandings or an understanding of why we do the things we do and why we vote the way we are, and perhaps promoting more public involvement the best we can would help this. I'd like to get feedback from people, and I've asked for feedback from people and have trouble getting it.
And Don, that's part of the reason I say I don't think it's transparency, because if there's anybody on transparency from the seven that sit up here, you probably make the largest effort to be out there with what you're saying and what you're doing, because you do the article in the Wymore paper all the time, and you're out in front of people a lot, it seems like. So it does seem that you're making that effort. So that's where I just don't think it's a transparency thing. I think it might be more
a topic related. I'm looking for suggestions, and this, like I say, it's for all of us. It's not just me. Sure. And I will bring up that the one, and when just to go back to Eric, you asked me if there was anything else. And it's something we could consider again that I brought up earlier, is having a meeting scheduled where it's easier for public to attend.
Would it be your feeling the virtual streaming, that I think that'll help with that?
Well, yes, but people, to cover the majority, people work from 8 to 5. There's a lot of shift workers, of course, but how do you satisfy that? Of course, if a live stream is recorded, then that helps, too, that you can view it any time of the day. But at a schedule that we'd looked at and talked about, 4:30 or 5, I think helps for people that, even on the board, this is my opinion, can leave their job an hour early and they're done for the day at the job, and it makes it easier for board members or whoever and people to attend and not have to get back to a job. But that's my opinion, and just want to present that to the board.
Ms. Axby?
The audio recordings are all on there. I mean, I think
yes. They
go back even 2 or 3 years.
Yes.
And
I don't think people have to see our bright and shining faces to hear what we have to say. I mean, the audio is fairly sufficient.
And Don, Gary may be right here. You have a differing opinion than some of us on different issues. We all have differing opinions depending on what it is, different backgrounds. That's what makes a board work well together. I think it's always our intention to make sure that everybody has that ability, whether it's this or the Second Amendment, the 30-30, just as you gave us that paperwork, we saw some of the things on there. And some of those things are, we have differing opinions.
We should have.
Right. And I've been really proud of our board. We've been able to debate things, I think, very well. I mean, we don't see the hurt feelings. There's back and forth. There's strong comments. There's strong debate. And I want that to continue. I think that's something we really need to focus on. We don't need a 7-0 vote on everything. Now, on mundane things, I would really appreciate a 7-0 vote, and we move on. You know, if they're controversial, take the time. We'll talk it out. We over-talk it sometimes, but I think that's a lot of our transparency, is our debate is out in the open. Our laundry is out there for everyone to see. People know where each of us sit. Sometimes we know where we're going to be ahead of time. Other times we don't until we're actually talking about things. But I would really like to see our board continue like that, where you can have your opinion that's completely different than mine. You have that time and respect that you get to present that. I get to present my point. We can make counterpoints. And that's the transparency I think we really need to maintain. And Mr. Dorn did a fantastic job at allowing us to visit back and forth as informally as possible with some decorum yet. I think we've maintained that, and I want to see that maintained. But this is great discussion, Don. There may be some of that where there's some events going on right now. Could happen to any of us. There's just probably some inward looking there, too. I get that. And Counselor?
One thing I would mention, I think your website is for information from this board. It is not a blog. You want a blog, there's a bunch of them out there. Get on it and have fun. But I think that's important. When people go to the Gage County website, they're looking for information. And if we got some hiccups in that, we need to get an IT person. Gus will probably let us use his. You know, to fix it. You know, everybody has that problem. You know, working with the church and stuff. You know, when you update your schedules, somebody has to do that every doggone day. So,
Mr. Jurgens.
Mr. would your transparency also include to inform everybody on this board you've been actively out recruiting people to run against current members on this board?
Sure.
Okay.
Because we all have that right.
Huh?
We all have that.
I'm not.
And I'm sure it's happened.
I just wondered if that was in your transparency.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything else on the transparency discussion? Ms. Haxby.
Just with the, I think Roger kind of said it the way I was thinking, but like, I don't think we should all be able to just put something up online. Now, if that's something that we decide to put up as a board because it's informational, that's one thing. But I don't know if any one supervisor, like if I have something or Gary, Terry, anybody, like we can't just unilaterally decide to put something up. I mean, if we can decide as a consensus, I think that's, we can definitely look at that.
We've had those items, though, as you guys have said, there's stuff that comes up. I mean, I've had Don put things on. Something for all of us to keep in mind. All of us are on the same level footing here. Everybody's got the same say in everything. Not one of us does anything. Any action we take is as a board, not as an individual. Whether one person brings it up or another, it's through debate, the process, and a vote of the board that we do things. No one's doing anything unilaterally. You might sway things one way or another through your discussion, but anything that comes out of this board comes out as a board, hopefully for the betterment of the county, too. But this is a great conversation. Like I say, these are the kind of conversations that we should have. This is part of our transparency because our discussions are as a whole. It's probably a good thing for you to bring up, too, Don. I appreciate it.
Thank you for allowing me on the agenda with it.
You bet. Don't expect it next time. And, of course, if there is anything you guys bring up and I say no, two-thirds of you can tell me to pound sand and it still goes on. That's just as important to keep in mind. We really haven't had that situation where we don't put things on. We try to get as much on as we can for discussion. If we're done with this conversation, I do have some personnel things I need to go over with you guys. And we're going to take a short break. So with that, we'll take a quick recess for 5 minutes and just at 10:06, and we'll reconvene approximately at 10:11.
But it doesn't say.
Okay, you're on.
We will reconvene at 10:16 on the clock. We'll ask Mr. Jones to come back up for building and grounds. We had bids for the lawn maintenance and fertilization for the 2022-2023 seasons.
Yes. We did get two bids, Beatrice Lawn Care and Greenway Lawn Care. Greenway is the lower of the two bids. The lawn mowing itself, you guys were just almost the same as $115 per mowing versus $120 per mowing. The difference would have been in the cost of the fertilizer, and then we have the option of the grub control. So I do not ask for references when we give out these bids. I know Caleb Allen has been wanting to get this lawn for a while. When I did talk to him, I just said, the only thing we need to have is to just always have it looking like a very good yard all the time. People expect that, and we expect that. So I guess my recommendation would be to go with Greenway Lawn Care. In the amount of $5,240 for 2022 and 2023.
Dave, are they local or were they?
Yes,
they are. They do other work here in town, I know.
I've seen their sign.
And I don't know how big of a crew he has. I'm not too familiar with.
The only thing we'll require is probably an insurance certificate, the same as any.
Beatrice Lawn?
I do. I own Beatrice Lawn. Should I abstain on this?
Yeah. Let Gary, who's vice chair? Let her do this. I would.
Will you take care of this then for asking for a motion to accept and everything, and then I'll still abstain from this vote?
Sure. We have the recommendation from Dave. Do we have a motion to accept the bid?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion to accept the Greenway bid as the lowest bid. Is there any discussion? Gary.
Dave, as far as, okay, on the fertilizer side of it, or on the chemical, is there any difference in what was presented from the two? You said there was some difference. What was the differences?
The difference in the fertilizer part was...
Let me ask it differently.
Okay.
You said it wasn't a concern Or you really didn't say, but is it a concern of yours, or is it something that...
What Greenway bid was pretty much what Beatrice Lawn Care had it at the last 2 years.
Okay.
So there was an increase, and as I'm sure the cost of fertilizers probably has or is going to go up.
No question about that.
And so, as far as the... we don't give specifications on exactly what type of fertilizer to use. We just recommend, and hope that they use a good product to do it.
So that could be a discrepancy there. Simply, we don't know amounts. We don't know type.
We do give we stated in 4 pounds of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet.
Right.
We don't specify whether it's a cheap, quick
release. Well, I mean, nitrogen is nitrogen.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
I mean, but there's other ingredients in some fertilizers.
Right,
it's just a straight nitrogen shot, and that's all it's getting.
No, it would have... I don't know what all it has in it.
Okay, well, that's fine.
And their weed killer, too. I will say Beatrice Lawn Care has always used products in the past that seem like they really worked well. And I hope that Greenway, if he's been in business for quite a few years...
No, I'm not complaining.
I'm hoping he...
I'm just curious.
Well, he's young man that we're talking about here is... I think he started when he was in high school. I know of him. He's a good, hard-working young kid. He's worked hard since I've known him anyway, as a middle schooler, high schooler. So I would anticipate the effort and the job will be done up to Dave's standards. If not, Dave will let him know, and Caleb would adjust, I would assume. Yep.
Okay. All right, we have a motion by Gary and a second by Terry.
Born, I think.
Dorn, Eddie. All right, everybody please vote. 5 in favor with Teaman abstaining.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
I'll take it back from you then for a second.
Go for it.
I would ask for a motion to go into closed session at 10:21 on the clock, necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to reputation of an individual at 10:21.
So move.
This is for contract negotiations as well as personnel. No action to be taken in closed session or after.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Haxby. Please vote. 6 in favor. We will go into closed session at 10:21.
There we go.
Even though Tobias says we can't do it, I'd ask for a motion to come out of closed session at 11:06.
So move.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Haxby to come out of closed session at 11:06 on the clock. Any discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor. We are out of closed session. Anything else for the good of the order? Seeing none, I'd ask for a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Schuler to adjourn at 11:07 on the clock. Please vote. 6 in favor. We are adjourned.
I got a question.